good evening. How's everybody doing tonight? Boy, that's how's everybody doing? Oh, that's good. This side wins, okay? This side wins. All right. Well, it's good to have everybody here tonight. And we do want to give a warm welcome to some visitors we have tonight. And I met somebody over there by Kimmy. Yes. And Bob. Is it Bob? By Kimmy there on from Shortcut Road? Dave. That was close. I just met him. So forgive me, Dave. I just met you. It's good to have you here tonight, Dave. It's very good to, so if get by, meet Dave, okay? So I got that name right. It's also good to have Ron and Glenda Williams with us. They're right here. They're staying in our prophet's chamber for a few days. And, of course, he'll be preaching Sunday evening. So you be sure and be here for that. We're looking forward to that. Take over. We got some thank you notes here.
Well, it's good to see everyone. Had some beautiful sunny days. Thank the Lord for sunshine. I don't know about you, but I, after a few cloudy days, I can get affected by that. And so we've had some sunny days and been a blessing. Just give you this from the Bottrells, from your church motto, church the way it used to be, to your hospitality that continually honors God. We praise God for you. You always go above and beyond for all who seek respite here. Please tell your people we love them and 10,000 thank yous for all their kindness and sweet fellowship. With grateful hearts, the Bottrells, who were with us over the weekend with the conference and then preaching on Sunday night and teaching in Sunday school. There is a note, and I'm not going to go into all the time to read it, but I think you would enjoy it. It is an update from Pastor Tom and Holly about their family and their kids and all of that. And so it's lengthy, it's front and back, but I will post it on the backboard. And you get a chance to read that. They give a good update on the church, give it a good update on their family. And as you remember, last year, Holly lost her mother due to cancer. She writes a little bit about that in the letter and some things that the Lord has helped them through over the Christmas season. And I would encourage you to read it. I'll post it in the back. And then I have another note. This is from Christopher Eccles and Yolanda from Australia. Thank you for your generous Christmas gift. It was greatly appreciated. Thank you for your thoughtfulness to us as we serve for you in Australia. And, of course, we try to send our missionaries Christmas gifts every year just to be a little extra blessing to them as they serve the Lord. This from Holly, Mike and Holly Mummert. Dear church family, I want to thank everybody for their prayers and cards. God bless Mike and Holly Mummert. Of course, you know she lost her sister recently. And so we wanted to share that thank you with you. And then Kathy Moritz writes again, dear Mount Zion family, thank you all for your prayers and cards. Also, a special thank you to the persons who make live stream sermon audio available. It allows the homebound to feel close to the church family. Even though the milder weather is a blessing, the rain, snow, and wind have stalled the house roof replacement. And I think, did I read this to you guys? All right, I thought I wrote that. Read it again. Okay, I'll finish reading it. The daily Bible reading calendar for 2023 encouraged me to spend time in my Bible each day. Continuing with the chronological Bible plan is challenging my thoughts, trying to keep a timeline of persons and events. Praise for my salvation in Christ, loving, helpful children, grandchildren, and friends. Prayerfully, Kathy Moritz. And Kathy, we say hi to you tonight. We say hi to also Newton Finley tonight by way of live stream, Petra tonight by way of live stream, and a number of people that join us, including Todd Ingalls, which I believe is Gene's nephew, who also joins us faithfully by live stream. So from time to time, I get letters from these people, and they're talking about messages, or they're talking about things that happen in the service, and they can't be with us, but they certainly enjoy the services, and we enjoy it, being able to have them tune in via the computer. Stand with me tonight, if you would. Good to have Dr. Williams and his wife with us, and you'll get to hear from him coming up on Sunday. I do want to bring before you, if you are a head of a department and you missed the meeting on Sunday night regarding prayer meetings for each ministry, please see me about setting up a prayer meeting for your ministry. And then be in prayer for those that are getting baptized, not this Sunday, but the next Sunday. We have a number that we're talking to about that, some that have already committed. We're excited about that, but be in prayer that they'll be able to follow through with that step. Let's bow for a word of prayer tonight. Good to have each of you in the service. Brother Mark Scarborough, would you pray to open this? Amen. Remain standing, take your songbooks, let's sing.
Okay, let's turn in our songbooks to 343 this evening, Springs of Living Water. I thirsted in a barren land of sin and shame, and nothing satisfying there I found. 343, Springs of Living Water.
I thirsted in the barren land of sin and shame, and nothing satisfying there I found. But to the blessed cross of Christ one day I came, where springs of living water did abound. Drinking at the springs of living water, happy now am I, my soul they satisfy. Drinking at the springs of living water, wonderful and bountiful supply. How sweet the living water from the hills of God, it makes me glad and happy all the way. Now glory, grace, and blessing mark the path I've trod, I'm shouting hallelujah every day. Drinking at the springs of living water, happy now am I, my soul they satisfy. Drinking at the springs of living water, a wonderful and bountiful supply.
Verse 3.
Oh sinner, won't you come today to Calvary? A fountain there is flowing deep and wide. The Savior now invites you to the water free, where thirsting spirits can be satisfied. Drinking at the springs of living water, happy now am I, my soul they satisfy. Drinking at the springs of living water, wonderful and bountiful supply.
Good singing.
You may be seated this evening. We just have a few announcements to go over tonight. You do have a pink announcement sheet you can read over. Many of these are on there. Don't forget that, let me see here. This coming Saturday, we do have Light on Purpose. That's at 9:30 down in our annex. That's our regular visitation program. That's 9:30. We serve a light breakfast. We have a quick Bible challenge, and then we head out, knock on doors, tell people about Jesus Christ, and I would encourage you to come out for that. It's supposed to be a great day on Saturday, and so weather-wise, and so I would encourage you to do that. If you have any questions on that, you can see me. We do pair people up to go out together. And then, let me see, we've got some meetings coming up. I'll talk about them in just a second. We will be having a Sight and Sound ministry meeting at the end of this month, on the 25th of this month. And so I'll say more about that. But if you are involved in Sight and Sound, be prepared for a brief meeting on the 25th of this month. It'll be after the evening service. That's a Sunday night. So we have, let me see. So we do have a baptismal coming up Sunday the 18th. So this Sunday, if you are a baptismal candidate or know of baptismal candidates, they need to meet with Brad Peters this Sunday, I believe right after the morning service. And so they need to meet with Brad Peters. Then also this Sunday, Pastor Jared needs to meet with all the teens right after the evening service. So, you know, the teens are not up here, but parents of teens, try and remember that. We'll make announcement of that on Sunday, but Pastor Jared needs to meet with all teens right after the evening service. It'll be right up front here. Then the Heart Book Club for Heart Parents. The Heart Book Club has already started. So you can see Pastor Jared and Miss Beth Lee for a book log. And Ari had some of the little heart kids say, "I'm already reading." And I'm like, "Yeah, good, good. Reading is good. Reading is good." And so the Heart Science Fair is coming up. That'll be Sunday, February 25th. And so if the Heart children are going to participate in that, we do need you to sign up in the four-year notebook. If you have any questions on that, you can see Pastor Jared about that. Then we've got, so if you signed up for the Sweetheart Banquet, we did have to make that food order. So if you did sign up for the Sweetheart Banquet, you can put your payment in a white envelope till we get more green envelopes, but just make sure you mark it real clearly. This is for the Sweetheart Banquet, and your name on it, and put it in the offering tray. If you could just do that. Then also at this coming Sunday, you'll see on your printed announcement sheet, so you can give yourself a reminder, at 5:45 p.m. we have a homeschool parent meeting. That's going to be in room number one. We have, if you're a parent of a homeschooler, that doesn't necessarily mean if you're involved in Heart, but any parent of homeschooling families, that's at 5:45 p.m. This is a very important meeting. Down in room number one. And then if you're on the transportation ministry, you got to meet with me at 6 p.m. in my office. So it's the beginning of the year. So we've got a lot of meetings. Remember, all these meetings are about communication, vision, direction. Okay, so that's why we're having so many meetings on that sort. Then coming up, the one thing that I'm not sure if I have it in the, I don't know if I have it in the, yeah, I do, on the back of your printed announcement sheet. In March, we're going to have our Bible book study night. How many of you remember that from earlier? Okay. So we're going to have another one of these Bible book study nights, Thursday, March 14th. And it's going to be it'll be the same kind of format. We're going to study the book of 1 Peter. Now, it just so happens that the spiral-bound book that you received last year has 1 Peter in it. We studied James, but it has 1 Peter in it. Now, so this is giving you time to go dig it out. But if you don't have it, that's okay. If you're going to participate in that Bible book study night, we do need you to sign up in the four-year notebook. And in the four-year notebook, when you sign up, there's a place to check, you know, "I need another book." And that's okay. That's all right. Just check that you need another book. There is a deadline to sign up. It's on the sheet. So we can order the books. But if you have your book from last time, it's got 1 Peter in it. So we're looking forward to another good Bible book study night. And so just check that out. We'll say more about that in further announcements. All right, take your songbooks. We'll sing.
All right, we'll sing one last time, number 534. 534, "'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, we will sing the first and the last this evening. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take Him at His word, just to rest upon His promise, just to know the saith the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I prove Him more and more.
a good reminder to trust Christ, no matter what's going on in your life, to trust our Lord Jesus Christ. If you take your prayer bulletins out at this time, we'll work through them in just a second. I don't know, do we have mics tonight, Brother Dave? Okay, we got mics tonight, so we'll take your testimonies and your prayer requests. But it is good to see Alma here tonight. And Alma has been with us before as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, a couple years ago, Alma took our soul winning training program. And she was in that program, and she was going home and practicing witnessing. And she was practicing to her husband that was without Christ. And she practiced, and her husband ended up getting saved. Remember that, Alma? Remember that work of God? It was wonderful, wasn't it? And so it's very, very good to see you again. God bless you. Welcome back to Mount Zion. Good to have Dave here, as was mentioned earlier. All right? We'll take some time to recognize praises tonight. Remember, there's a difference between praise and thanksgiving. Praise is thanking God for who He is. Thanksgiving is thanking God for what He has done. I want to give you something to write down for thanksgiving, and I want to give you something to write down for praise. And then you can share maybe some things along those fronts. We'll work down through the prayer bulletin as we've been doing in the new year. You should know that as a staff, we are reading a book together called Praying for the Flock. And it's been a real challenge to each of us. And we discussed that in our weekly meeting. And one of the things that the book brought out to me on Monday, I was reading it on Monday, a portion of it, was to pray God's promises for the flock that God gives you to pray for. When you come across the promise, ask God to give you people in your church to pray that promise. So that was on Monday. I filed that, and I said, next time I see a promise, I'm going to do that. I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to me who to pray for in relationship to this promise. And so this morning, I was reading in my devotions Faith's Checkbook of Faith, which is written by Spurgeon, a tremendous book of promises. And there was a passage in Job, and sure enough, it had a very, very good promise. And immediately, the Lord stopped me and gave me 3 to 4 names in our church to pray that promise for. And I shared that with staff today, and I said this: God is a God that wants to reveal Himself to you. And He wants to reveal Himself to you and to me. And He's ready and willing to do so if we will take time with Him. And for God to teach me something about prayer one day, and then to give me the situation in my devotions the next day, and allow that to be put into action, that was very, very special for me. I share that with you tonight. God wants to reveal Himself to us. Thanksgiving-wise, thank God for Cindy Nichols. She had to go back to the hospital. Those of you that know, she was in the hospital dealing with a blockage before the marriage conference. She got well enough to come home, but had to go back in Monday or Sunday. I think Monday, back into the hospital. And they just confirmed today that that blockage is all cleared, and she came home late this afternoon. And so we give God praise for that. There's a possibility she's going to have to go to Hershey and have surgery. She didn't have to do that. And so right down under Thanksgiving, what God has done, the touching of Cindy Nichols' body. And we thank God for that. All right? Your opportunity tonight, praise God, a eureka moment, possibly something you have learned about God this week from the Scriptures or in life, or something that God has done for you. Let's begin with those tonight. Raise your hand and we'll get you a mic so everybody can hear you. Brother Dave, right up here. We have somebody. Do we just have one mic tonight? Evan has the other one. All right. Is there somebody else after Diana that we can get another mic to? Peggy over here, Brother Evan. All right. Diana, go ahead.
And I am reading the Bible chronologically. Mm-hmm. And this morning, as I was going into it, they're starting to build, or they're being given instructions on building the tabernacle, and I thought, what am I going to get out of this that will tell me about God?
Mm.
And within the first few verses, God wants to dwell with us.
Mm. Amen.
And that's why He had them build a tabernacle so that he could dwell with his people.
Amen. Amen. God wants to dwell with us. Isn't that wonderful? Wonderful truth. True in the New Testament in our individual lives. Peggy in the back. Go ahead.
Yes. Mine's a Thanksgiving one. God has worked greatly through other believers on my behalf lately.
And Peggy says God has worked greatly in her life through other believers. All right? Praise the Lord for that. Praise the Lord for that encouragement. Somebody else tonight with a testimony of praise or thanksgiving. Nancy in the back over here. And is there somebody else after Nancy that has something on the tip of your tongue you would like to share tonight in praise and thanksgiving? Steve over here, Dave. All right, Nancy, go ahead.
In Psalm 140, verse 7, it says, O God, the Lord, the strength of my salvation.
Thank God for His strength, the strength of my salvation or my deliverance. Every time God delivers us, we know it is His strength, isn't it? Not our strength, it's His strength. All right, Steve, go ahead.
Recently, I've been reading in Numbers 22, starting with verse 21. And this is the story of the angel and Balaam's ass. That's the story, of course, where you have Balaam wanting to curse the Israelites, and where God basically sends this angel to stop the donkey that Balaam's riding on from doing what, obviously, God did not want him to do. And what that speaks to me about is this, is that there are times in which we're traveling on the wrong path, and that God oversees our lives, and He will change our course when He sees that we're off course to help to put us on the correct course. And what's interesting, at the end of that story, even though Balak the king, which is the person who was asking Balaam to curse Israelites, asked him again to do it, Balaam, because of the experience with the donkey, basically gave him the correct answer that God forbids me to curse Israelites. I must obey God. So he was corrected in his wrong thinking.
Amen. Amen. All right. Somebody else tonight, praise or thanksgiving before we move to prayer requests. Go ahead, Dave. Give one on the way.
I was just going to say I know last week, I think it was, I said that my work is going through a layoff. The layoff is over and I was able to avoid it, so I still get to keep my job.
Amen. Dave's able to keep his job. Praise God for that. Yeah. All right. Pastor Todd?
In Psalm 42, 43, and 44, really, the psalmist is expressing distress, and the verses, O my soul, why art thou disquieted in me? But in Psalm 44, as he winds some of this down, he says, thou art my king, O God. And it just struck me, as we go through distresses, we all do, God is still king, and God is still my king, and
Amen.
It's personal. And so, just another eureka moment.
Amen. Amen. All right. I think there was one more somewhere. Brother Eric over here, and then Karen will be our last one right over here, okay? Brother Eric, go ahead.
Yeah, just a moment of thanksgiving. I'd like to thank God for, over 1,200 miles of travel back between here and South Carolina to attend my uncle's funeral. It was a long trip, but I got a chance to see some cousins and give out some tracks and cross puzzles and just a really good time there. I just thank God for that. And also want to just, say hello to our live streamers, because I know they aren't here physically, but they're here, worshiping with us, praying with us, and they are, a very important part of our service. So I just want to say hello to them as well.
Who is that? I'm sorry?
Yeah, I just want to say hello to our live streamers.
Live streamers,
yeah, although
yes.
They aren't with us physically, they're still a part of this body.
Yep. Amen. Amen. All right. Let's see. Karen, you're the last one tonight.
I just want to praise the Lord for, I heard a good message earlier this week, and it was about, it was really on why Satan hates the church. But as I heard the preacher preach on the computer, he said that we are bought with a price, the blood of Jesus Christ. And he said, do you know you are His? You not only is He a part of us, But you are his. I thought that was a wow moment for me, and he bought us with his blood.
Amen. Amen. All right. We'll take unspoken requests, and we'll just have two men lead out tonight because of a members meeting we're having. And so I'll ask Martin Bordentrager to be one of those men. Martin, if you would lead out and remember whatever prayer request the Lord would have you remember as we pray together tonight. And then, let's see. Brother Ed, you lead out as well, all right? Whatever you can remember tonight. Let's take unspoken requests tonight. If you have an unspoken request, take some time to look around and write down some names that are dealing with some requests that are more of a personal nature. All right, now we'll go to miscellaneous requests. You see some there, the radio station, the York Youth Development Center, Baltimore Rescue Mission, some of the new things that we're working on here at the church in the way of ministry. But other miscellaneous requests, if you have something that doesn't fit under health or family spiritual or jobs, let me know or raise your hand and we'll take those requests. Anybody with a miscellaneous? In the back, Sharon, Brother Evan.
We always hear about the media reporting the number one cause of death in America as being heart disease, cancer, or whatever. In the last 5 years, abortion has been the number one cause of death in the U.S., greater than all the next five causes combined.
Wow. Wow, wow, wow.
And ACLJ is right now arguing two cases before the Supreme Court. One is to ban the mail order abortion pills. The other is defending Idaho's abortion ban. The Biden administration is seeking to bypass these state restrictions. So we pray for defeat of the Biden administration as well as Planned Parenthood.
Absolutely. And I would encourage you, I don't know if you have any access to PA Family Institute, but I received a couple emails on abortion this week and some of the battles within the state. It's a website you can save to your favorites. It's worth staying up on those things so you know where to pray. As they are fighting against abortion in our own state. Right. Let's take anybody with lost people to add to the list. Brother Ed. All right. Pray for Caitlin, Rogers, Ian, and Drew. Right. All grandchildren of Ed's for salvation tonight. And then I would ask you to pray for a gospel opportunity on Friday. I have a gospel opportunity at 11 o'clock, if you pray for that. And then I think we have some ladies going out on Saturday, and I believe there may be some gospel opportunities. Remember, we had those 15 visitors in church on Sunday, so there's lots of follow-up, and we're not certain about some of their salvation. And so please pray for Saturday visits and Friday visits that we believe will be gospel-oriented visits this week, all right? Brother Skip, lost people. Pray for Skip's brother and sisters for salvation, Pastor Todd. All right. Pray for Pastor Todd tomorrow night. Perhaps another gospel opportunity and a visit that he has set up with a man that was here on Sunday as well. That's tomorrow night. So Thursday, Friday, Saturday, there are opportunities this week to get the gospel to people. All right, Diane? All right. Remember Tommy Champagne visiting with the Braddocks, not saved, supposed to be here on Sunday in one of the services. Anybody else with lost? Gary? Okay. Pray for Gary's neighbor, Butch, who is unsaved. Brother Jordan. Pray for Chris Cavalera for salvation. Somebody Jordan's praying over this month that the Lord would bring him to Christ. Luke. How do you spell the last name, Luke? S-H-O-N-G. Robert Deshaun, longtime friend of Luke's, for salvation. All right. Anybody else? Sean?
Amen. Amen.
All right. If you have somebody that's wayward, you have a wayward one that you know that you would like to add to the praying for the wayward. Brother Ed? Right? Pray for Veronica, his daughter, and her son, Austin. All right? Anybody else wayward? You got somebody on your heart that's wayward you want us to pray for? Cindy? Right? Let's remember Daniel tonight. Anybody else? Kim? All right. Remember these waywards. We're moving down to family spiritual. Anybody have something under family spiritual need? Anybody have something to add there tonight? Down to remembering church cleaners and youth workers is our ministry people that we're praying for this week. And then some jobs. And you can add Keith Warner Jr. to the job list. We're praying for Keith Warner Jr. to be able to get a job. And then physical in the church, there's a few there. Any other prayer requests before we have these two men lead out tonight? Anybody else the prayer request? Brother Williams, Dr. Williams?
Yes.
This is Pastor McInnes out in Willis, Michigan. Pastors a church out there and lost his dear wife of 50 years. And very, very emotional over that loss. Of course, Dr. Williams has been through that, can relate to what he's going through. Remember him tonight, if you would, for comfort. All right? Brother Dave, who else here? We got a couple up front. Elma, go ahead.
Yesterday for pneumonia, 86 years old, a full-time worker in Pfizer.
What's her first name again?
Silvera. Silvera.
Silvera?
Yeah.
Is that right?
Silvera, like a silver?
Yep.
Yeah.
All right.
Silvera. Paga.
Okay. Remember Alma's mother tonight. Amen.
Yeah.
Okay. Diana? Pray for Stephanie down at Baptist Bible Translators Institute. She's sick and obviously lots of school and classes to do, so pray she gets well. Tabitha?
Yes, if you could please pray for a man named Alan Farley. He is the man that produces our Civil War gospel tracks. He's currently in the hospital, and today I got a text that his heart is failing, so it looks like most likely he's going to pass on.
All right, this is the man that produces the Civil War gospel tracts that Bobby and Tabitha give out at the Civil War events. And he's in bad shape in the hospital and looks to pass on. And we have asked, have we not asked to see if we can get printing rights on that? So pray that these can continue to be published despite what's going on with this man. But pray for the man tonight, all right? Anybody else with a prayer request? Cindy, tonight, go ahead. Pray for Cindy's uncle, Dwight Gross, with heart and lung issues and salvation, that he would come to know Jesus before it's too late. Brother Bob, go ahead. Pardon me, I'm sorry. Okay, pray for Bob. He would like to have a wife. So pray for Bob in that way. Anybody else? Sherry in the back, go ahead. So she's probably in surgery right now. Remember, this is Carla's daughter, which would be Carl and Sherry's granddaughter, Sarah, with an appendectomy that's happening even probably as we speak. All right? Let's go to prayer tonight. And Brother Martin, you lead us. And then Brother Ed, you close us tonight. All right?
Thank you so much, my Father, for hearing all these prayer requests, Lord. I can't write well enough to remember them all, but you know every one of them for us. Thank you for touching our hearts and help and answering our prayers, Lord. We thank this week how many prayers that you've answered for us. One of the most important things that we can pray is intercessory prayer, Lord. And we lift up all those that were mentioned that are unsaved, Lord. We really don't know how to pray for the unsaved, except it's troubled their heart, Lord. Help them to feel empty without you. Help them, Lord, to realize that hell is real and that they need to be able to trust Jesus to be able to avoid hell. Be with all those that are ill, Lord. I thank my brother. I pray, Lord, that you would continue to touch his body. I thank you all those that were mentioned and answered prayer, even during those the illnesses that have been going on. I thank Brother Brad's dad and the things that you've done for him, Lord. You're just wonderful. There's nothing that we can't ask you that is impossible for you, but you are all possible, God. We praise you tonight, Lord. That's one of the things that I don't do very well is praise you and lift you up. And that's why, Lord, I want to start another notebook of answered prayers. And you are so good to us, Lord. I'm sure that'll be filled up a lot quicker than in the other rest of them. Thank you, Lord. We ask you to be with us in the rest of this service. Let this, Lord, help us to learn something from you tonight. We ask you to be with the pastor and help him. And bless all those that are joining us on live stream. We just want to say, glory to God, that we have this to be able to reach out to people, Lord. We ask you to be with them and help them. And we pray someone might even be watching that's unsaved, Lord, and give their heart to you. So wonderful. Thank you so much for everything you do for us, O Lord. And also be with your children, Israel. We pray for the peace of Israel right now, Lord. Lift them up to you. We pray for the hostages that have been taken over there. We pray that you would show yourself mighty to this lost and sinful and cursed world, Lord, that they might see that there is a God, that he does answer prayer. Thank you so much for everything you do. In Jesus' holy name, we will pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Sharing with the staff, we had really a move of God last Sunday morning in the service. And I don't really have anything to attribute it to. For the last 3 weeks, we were not out on visitation with weather and the marriage conference and things and visitors showing up from out of nowhere. And we all agreed that it's probably people praying. It's just probably people praying. And so I want to continue to urge you to pray. Pray for our services. Pray for the people that were ministering to, that God is giving us opportunity to do so. And as we have another Sunday of services coming up on Sunday, as we preach on the New Walk Part 2, and that the Lord will just use Dr. Williams on Sunday night as he preaches. And prayer, folks, prayer is the key. Prayer is the key to what moves mountains. We were reading this week, sometimes, what's the phrase, Pastor Todd, we're praying. Yeah. And so just an awareness. I think there's a good awareness in the church on that. We want to keep that. I'd like you to turn your Bibles tonight to 1 Peter chapter 2. We're dealing with being a Christian at work. Being a Christian at work. And we dealt with qualities that you can bring to the workplace that will enhance the workplace. Biblical qualities. We dealt with a few weeks on that. Now we're dealing with warnings for working in a secular world. How many of you work with unsaved people in one part of your job or another? You work with unsaved people, all right? Number of you. Maybe not everybody here, but certainly the principles we're teaching can apply to all kinds of different situations in life. Last week we preached through the thought of the warning of your soul becoming vexed. Lot's soul became vexed with their unlawful deeds. And remember, we explained what that looked like. At first, Lot was uncomfortable with what was happening in Sodom. But Lot grew comfortable. He didn't take Christ to enter into Sodom. He let Sodom enter into him. And you have to be careful when you're working in a secular world not to let the values and the priorities and the attitudes and the deceit and all of that enter into you and vex your righteous soul to where you become comfortable. Even language. You know, there's Christians that have lived for years without using bad language, but they get to a job and they allow that that language to vex their soul, that came out of my own mouth. They're vexed. And so that's a warning. Warning number two was the warning of missing your mission. At your workplace, the warning of missing your mission. Remember, your mission is not to get a paycheck. That's not the big deal. Your mission is that you're a light. God planted you where you're at in a dark place. For some of you that go home to home and you fix things, sometimes that dark place is the home that you're in, fixing the furnace or fixing the electric or whatever they got going on in their house. Sometimes there needs to be light in that house, and God sends you to be a light. Don't miss your mission. We talked about listening for the voice of the Holy Spirit and being word-filled and praying daily that God uses us to fill His kingdom, being equipped with tools and tracks and ready to give an answer. All those things are important. Warning number one, beware of your soul becoming vexed. Warning number two, be careful of missing your mission at work. Warning number three, the warning of becoming discouraged at work. The warning of becoming discouraged. Your work can become a discouraging endeavor. You may be starting your own business and it seems like you can't get ahead. And your fear has come upon you. You've hit a slow time in getting a business off the ground. And that can be discouraging. You may feel underappreciated for what you do at your job or criticized and maligned regularly that no one recognizes any good where you work. You may have gone a few years without a raise. That can be discouraging. Or you didn't get the time off that you had hoped you could get off. Or you face an increasing pressure to conform to the social views of your company. Believers are dealing with that even as I speak. Or your boss has expectations that you can't meet. Or you see no relief for all the hours you are working and you are living life through the lens of exhaustion. Or you're watching your life fly by and can barely make ends meet while you feel like you have nothing to give anywhere else because of all the stress at the job. Or you face an interpersonal conflict that's not getting better. Anybody ever face any of these things at their workplace? This is real life, isn't it? This is what people face. In 1 Peter chapter 2, where we have the text tonight, he speaks to servants. He's dealing with that work relationship here in verse number 18. Servants, be subject to your master with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. Or in other words, it is possible that you're under an unfair, crooked boss. That's discouraging. He says, he goes on in verse number 19, for this is thankworthy if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. Or in other words, sometimes God puts us in these places to glorify Himself, even when we suffer wrongfully. For what glory is it if when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? But if when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. Or in other words, if you're able to handle the discouragement of your job with patience and endurance, you do well. That is pleasing to the Lord. You know, discouragement can be a real bad thing at the workplace. You study a number of examples about discouragement, you'll find this. You find that the danger of discouragement is that you can pray the wrong prayers when you're discouraged. Numbers chapter 11, Moses is overwhelmed. He's exhausted. He doesn't know what to do. He's discouraged. And so he says, I'm not able to bear all this people alone because it is too heavy for me. I don't know about you, but when things get heavy, it's easy to get discouraged. And he prays this, and if thou deal thus with me, kill me, I pray thee. What? Moses, what are you praying, man? You know what? Discouragement has an effect on the soul. It causes us to pray wrong things in wrong ways. Number two, it can cause you to say wrong things. You got to be careful. Listen, you work in a sin-sick world. You work in an unjust, unfair world. You got to be careful about discouragement. Discouragement can cause you to pray the wrong things. It can cause you to say the wrong things. Look at Numbers chapter 21. Turn in your Bibles to Numbers chapter 21. Israel is on a hard journey. Long journey. How many of you ever been on a hike and you thought you were farther along on the hike than you were? And a sign comes up and it tells you 2.1 miles still to go. And you're going, wait. This is only a 2.4 mile hike. I've hiked more than 0.3 miles. Years ago, I had the privilege when I was in college to travel with Neighborhood Bible Time. I traveled down to Phoenix, Arizona, preached down in a church down there to teenagers and held like a VBS. And the youth pastor took us out to Camelback Mountain. And he said, do you guys want to do this? If you want to do this, we're going to have to do it rather quick because we've got to be back for supper at this time. It's about 95 degrees out that day. And we climbed Camelback and we kept climbing Camelback. And I was like, I'm not going to make this. And I drank one water bottle down, and I had two water bottles, and I drank the other one half down, and I'm like, I'm not going to have enough liquid to get through this. I mean, I was pouring sweat, and this mountain was, I didn't train for this. We just decided on a fling, let's go do this. And I can remember being discouraged. Here, the Bible says about Israel, they were much discouraged in verse number 4 because of the way. Now, what happens next is very important. And the people spake. You know what? When you're discouraged, it's not usually a good time to talk because good things don't come out. Not only do we pray wrong, not only do we say wrong things, here the people spake against God and against Moses. Wherefore have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there's no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread. Or in other words, God, it's your fault. Moses, it's your fault. How did we get here? What was the problem, preacher? Discouragement. Discouragement. You know what? If you speak at work when you're discouraged, you may take somebody else's spirit down. You may complain and put a negative thought in somebody else's mind about somebody else at the workplace. Be careful. Be warned against discouragement. We think the wrong things. Remember when John was in prison in the New Testament? And John's thinking, is this the real Christ? Maybe we ought to go and look for another. He lost his faith. He began to think wrong. You see wrong things. Remember Numbers chapter 13, when the spies came back and they were discouraged. We can't go and do this. Yeah. It says at the end of that passage in verse number 33, and there we saw the giants. Note, when you're discouraged, your eyes have a tendency to run to the wrong things. And at work, you can see all the wrong. Be careful. Be warned tonight. You know that you can develop a wrong spirit because of discouragement about your work. You can develop a spirit of defeatism. Might as well just give up and quit. This is worthless. It's never going to change. I'm stuck. This isn't right. All those things, right? They enter our minds when we are discouraged. You can end up in the wrong places. Elimelech and Naomi ended up in Moab because they were discouraged because of the famine and thought they needed to do something. Abraham found himself running to Egypt. Wasn't a good place. Remember, you have and are equipped to handle every problem that may come your way. How, preacher? You have the Holy Spirit, don't you? He's the comforter. Who does he comfort? He comforts the discouraged, doesn't he? Doesn't he know how to change perspective? Doesn't he know how to bring light and truth and perspective to a situation? You have the Word of God. You have the privilege of prayer. God, my spirit's not in a good place today. Lord, I need help. I am discouraged. You have brothers and sisters in Christ, don't you? Hey, could you pray with me? I'm going through some things at my job. I'll be honest with you, I'm struggling in my spirit. Normally, we're praying with others on Wednesday nights. It's not wrong to share with a brother like that. It's not wrong to enlist others in prayer. You know, Joseph had lots of opportunities to be discouraged, but Joseph stayed right. You know, Daniel had lots of opportunities to be discouraged. I'm thinking down in that lion's den. But Daniel stayed right. Paul and Silas had lots of reasons to be discouraged when they had been beaten and locked in stocks, but they were still singing praises to God. You know what? You can battle discouragement, and with God's help, you can win over it. That's the truth. That's the truth. And so, let me give you one more warning tonight, and we'll develop this next week. The warning of working without a purposed heart. The warning of working without a purposed heart. Daniel chapter 1, and then next week we'll dig into Psalm 101 here. Daniel chapter 1. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. Do you see the word purposed? Past tense. In other words, Daniel purposed in his heart before the opportunity came to defile himself. He had already, if I could use this word, resolved that he wouldn't defile himself with the king's meat. Couldn't we say, application-wise, that Daniel was going to work? He was. He was working for the king in a foreign land. He was recruited. He's going to work, and there's a potential for defilement. But Daniel had already purposed in his heart not to defile himself. There's a danger that we go to work not prepared in our spirit for what we're going to deal with. That's the danger of working in the world. And next week when we dig into Psalm 101, you're going to read through what I'm going to teach, 11 resolutions that King David made as he took the kingship of Israel. He said, I'm going to resolve in my heart these 11 things. So if you want to know what those 11 things are before next Wednesday night, open Psalm 101 this week and read it, and you'll be prepared for when we come back next week to study the warning of working without a purposed heart. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for being able to look into your word tonight and just, Lord, understanding warnings. And Lord, you want us to be genuine Christians, reflecting Christ in every way at our jobs. Lord, the people that we work with. Lord, encourage the saints tonight. Lord, as we learn Sunday night, people are watching. People that we don't even know, Lord, are watching. And Lord, we have the opportunity, Lord, to portray Christ. We are on a mission from you at our work. But Lord, there are dangers. And Lord, I pray that we would be aware of those dangers, Lord, that these messages would awaken us, Lord, to those dangers that are before us. Help us to avoid the dangers. Lord, maybe there's somebody tonight that's dealing with discouragement at their job. God, I pray that you will help them. I pray they won't speak the wrong words, and they won't think the wrong thoughts, and they won't pray the wrong prayers, and they won't end up in the wrong places, God. They won't do the wrong things. God, I pray that tonight they would find your encouragement. Lord, get perspective from you and help. And Lord, that you would strengthen them even for their job tomorrow, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us by way of the internet today. We're so glad that you were able to be with us, and we pray that the service was a blessing to your heart. even though the sermon is over, our service is not over. At the end of our service, we give an opportunity for people to respond and come to an altar and pray over what God dealt with them about. Sometimes people come to call upon Christ and to be saved. Others come to make a decision for Christ regarding their Christian lives. Others come to call out to the Lord about special needs and situations in their lives. Maybe God has dealt with you today about some specific area of your life. I invite you to make an altar right there in your home, a quiet time before the Lord where you pray to Him and respond to Him about what He has spoken to you about. If you made a decision for the Lord today, we would be glad to hear about that decision and or answer any questions you have today about the message that was preached. You can contact us by way of email at info@mountziononline.org or by way of phone at 717-927-9227. Again, we thank you for joining us today, and we look forward to you joining us again for our live stream weekly on Sundays at 10:45 a.m. and on Sunday evenings at 6:45 p.m. If we can meet a need in your life, please do not hesitate to contact us. Thank you, and God bless you.